Hello, today we have me, Anna.
And Florence.
Today our podcast is about social media and mental health. I hope you will love it.
During our research, we found out some facts.
The first fact is, the more time spent on social media can lead to cyberbullying, social anxiety, depression, and exposure to content that is not age appropriate.
I think that parents should always check apps before letting their kids download it. Also, if they are not allowed the app, parents should always explain why they aren't allowed it.
Yeah, you're totally right.
The next fact is, the uncontrolled use of social media can harm teenagers by disrupting important healthy behaviours.
That's true, because teens started to be more aggressive and rude to adults and others. They also started to forget about education. Can you believe that?
I can't even believe that.
So the third fact is, continual social media use may lead to addiction. How do you feel about this?
I totally agree. Nowadays, children and adults are always invested in their phones more than they are in the outside world.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The last fact is, social media can increase risk for depression and anxiety, loneliness and self-harm.
Yeah, that's right, because this is becoming more and more sites to help young people with depression and other things. But I think there should be much less sites. Because if there's that much sites, that means that in this world there's too much harmful online things.
That's entirely true. Do you think we can do something about it?
I think, yeah, we can do it by help of other people.
Today with us, we have Miss Douglas and Miss Bannister, and we are going to interview her about her opinion on social media and mental health. And maybe we will know something new about children that are on social media. Hello, Miss. How do you feel today?
I'm really well, thank you.
Are you ready to start our interview?
Yeah, very much looking forward to it.
Okay, so firstly, let's talk about negatives. Why is it helpful, or what impact has age on different apps?
I think the difficulty at the moment is that for so many young people, that desire to be on social media is at the forefront of how you socialise with your friends, how you mix so much and have those friendships. Our concern as specialists in school is the readiness to be on those apps, and that's not the same age for all young people. And I think the biggest thing for us as teachers at schools is when we start educating you around social media and how to be safe on social media, often a lot of young people are actually already accessing those different types of social medias, and it's about making sure that mentally and emotionally you're ready for lots of the positives that can be on social media, but some of those dangers and those negatives too, especially around addiction and especially around things like bullying on those apps and potentially seeing things that emotionally you might not be ready to see.
Okay, next question. Why are people so addicted to phones and social media?
I think there's a few issues in terms of mobile phones. Obviously, we've got the mental stimulation that comes from using your phone, using the different apps, using computers. You see something really good and it triggers something in your brain and you want to keep looking at it and you keep scrolling. But then we've also got the issue of the lights on the phone that can cause a physical addiction as well. So we're seeing an increase in those sorts of issues in our young people at the moment.
I think the other thing that we would also talk about as well is sometimes it's the addiction that leads from actually peer pressure, that because your friends are accessing these apps so much, that actually you feel that to be included and to be part of those friendship conversations and be part of the trends that are happening, you have to be on those platforms as well. Otherwise, you can feel quite isolated. And it's having a conversation as well about why, what are the whys behind why you want to be on those different platforms.
Great answers. How do you think about small kids going on apps that are not suitable for their age?
I think there's a lot of conversations that need to happen much earlier in education, but I also think there needs to be a huge amount of education for parents. As a parent of two young people myself, I've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old at home, although I'm an expert particularly around this topic in terms of educating children at school, as a parent I've had to do a huge amount of my own understanding, firstly around how to make sure those apps that my daughters are starting to be interested in are absolutely safe, but do also I know how to use them correctly? Do I feel confident in that space? and how we have those conversations at home as well. So I think there's a lot more that needs to be out there to support and help parents, but also to support and help parents to have conversations at home as well and be able to set those boundaries, allowing their children to have fun and access things at an age appropriate point. But I do think, and luckily a lot of conversations are happening at the minute, but I do think the government needs to be doing a lot more, and so do the social media platforms, to keep children safe. And there is a big push for that improving at the minute, but we're not quite there yet.
I also think that there are a lot of apps that are marketed towards young people and then that are really not suitable for that age group. So it's about, again, it's the government raising that awareness with parents to make sure that they are checking those out as well.
Okay, what do you think about the negative impact on social media?
I think at the moment, evidence would prove, and this is difficult to have those conversations with young people, the negative impact does outweigh the positive. Unfortunately, when we look at the impact around sleep, around mental health, around friendships and bullying, we've seen schools react to that appropriately, and now pretty much across the country, schools have brought in their mobile phone bans. Many schools will say that that's seen a reduction in things around bullying. However, that doesn't stop the bullying happening outside of those school times. And all school leaders, particularly in this trust, would say some of the biggest issues they face on a daily basis are issues on social media that then come into school situations. And schools have to and want to be able to help children deal with that. I also think that with sleep and social media, there is a huge correlation. If young people are losing, which is what the evidence proves at the minute, up to 2 hours sleep a night because of their addiction to screens, we then see the knock-on effect of how that affects children both in school, in their mental health, how they feel about themselves. All of those are kind of linked in. But we also do get that it's really difficult for young people, once they've got those mobile phones, to manage them properly because they are so addicted to those screens.
We've also seen a rise in issues around body image, mm-hmm. because of things that people see on social media. So we're obviously seeing the negative impact of that as well at the moment.
Okay, now moving on to the positives. How does social media help students?
I think the greatest thing out there with social media, it's about making those right choices about who are you following, which groups you're interested in, what those hobbies and interests and inspirations are. And actually, there's so much positivity out there. So if you're interested in certain kind of trends and certain ideas, so if you take, for example, things like Pinterest or certain things that you might have a real kind of niche hobby in that you might explore on something like Instagram, it can give you a really great kind of feeling of like togetherness. It can really help you keep in touch with people that might have moved to different cities or may no longer live nearby to you. It can be a great source of education, again, making sure that actually that education is viable and real and not fake news, and actually it can be a huge amount of fun. And for a lot of young people, especially on certain platforms, they can really feel it gathers more confidence for them and gives them lots of inspiration. And it can really give you a great deal of inspiration about careers in the future and jobs you might want to do in the future as well, because as we often say to our secondary students, there are jobs that they will go for in the future and careers they'll have in the future that haven't even been invented yet, because social media is moving so fast that actually in 10 years from now, there's going to be so much more to explore. So that side of it is really exciting and brilliant.
I do think the, just kind of building on the education part of things, I think social media has really seen that improvement in being able to develop young people's skills, well, everybody's skills. You know, we saw during, going back 5 years, which is a long time, during lockdown, we obviously saw people picking up on things like how to make banana bread and learning new skills from that. I know somebody who taught themselves the guitar from YouTube. We know that it's got absolute benefits, but it's about taking that with some cautiousness as well.
I totally agree. Should there be more apps for education?
I think absolutely, and I think it's again about how schools can link those apps so that again that there's that security that actually we know that young people are using these apps in school, and we know that they're getting that guidance and support from teachers about how to use the apps correctly, that how those apps can really benefit. Then parents are being educated on how to use those apps, and then they can be relayed back in at home for students and parents to be able to use to develop them educationally. So if we take an app, for example, which is something that's used by two different members of my family, something like Duolingo, where actually you can teach yourself multiple different languages, either at a really basic level, you know, that kind of understanding little tips or little ideas before you go on a holiday, actually just those little kind of pleasantries, right through to, as Miss was saying, that you can kind of fully educate yourself and actually become an expert in a second language. Things like that just kind of prove that those little hobbies through education apps can really go a long way and really help somebody kind of boost in confidence.
As a teacher though, I think I'd like to see more information out there about apps that would be useful for us. So at the minute I rely quite often on word of mouth to kind of pick up on some of the apps that might be useful in my teaching life, and it would be useful to have more of a central kind of database explaining what they are and how useful they can be.
Okay, can gaming apps help children in educational ways?
I think, again, that's one about thinking that all children's minds are very different. All children's minds develop at different paces and different stages. And again, when we think about our children that may have additional learning needs and may look at kind of learning differently, I think there's a huge amount out there that will support. And we know that things, for example, like Minecraft, lots of people would say that Minecraft does amazing things in terms of coordination, in terms of maths and problem solving. Absolutely. But I think there is that area where we do have to tread with caution around. There is still that screen there, and there is still an issue there potentially around an addiction, around not necessarily socialising or not necessarily mixing with people face to face. I think there's a place for it, absolutely, but never as a kind of substitute from that face to face teamwork, group work, independent learning skills as well that are so essential.
Yep. If kids had digital detox from their phones, would it help kids to be more active?
There is evidence, strong evidence, recently a very, very well-established pair of celebrities did a documentary where they did this exact investigation, and at a school in this country, 30 year 8 students removed their phones, their iPads, their screen time altogether. They were allowed to keep their televisions for 30 days. And over this 30 days, the children were analysed and researched on and discussed with every single day. And it was a really, really difficult challenge for some of those students. But the evidence absolutely proved that during that 30 days, although the children in some instances very much struggled at the beginning with anxiety and fear around not having their phones, all of those children's sleep improved. All of those children found themselves outdoors more, socialising with friends more. All of them found at the end of the 30 days they'd had less conflict and less arguments at home. One student in particular massively improved on his behaviour at school, and all of the parents involved said that it had a much, much more positive effect on those children's lives than they were expecting. So that's a very small study, but when we look at the evidence wider in this country, actually I think that really mirror images what reducing mobile phone and screen time could do for a young person and adults as well.
You might have noticed that me and Miss had a little bit of a giggle as well when you asked that question, because it is something that we talk about a lot in relation to our own children as well, because it is so important that we are looking at how we can benefit everyone from taking this digital detox. I like that phrase. That's really good.
All right. It was a really good interview, but we do have to finish now. It was really nice to see you both today. I hope you liked it too. Have a good day and thanks for coming.
So today, that is the end. I hope today you learn a lot of new stuff and helpful for your future.
Thank you for listening.
Looking to see you later.
Bye.